efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities and development project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company. It's my pleasure to bring back in Mr. Matt Nelson. He is at MNelson_ISU. He is one of my favorite Cyclones, and he's going through just a little bit of rough patch because we're doing a little teething. Not Matt, but he has someone in the family that is. How you doing, brother?
Good, Steen. Can you hear me?
I got you just fine, my friend.
We're doing good, yeah. No teeth for me, but for little baby Charlotte, her first birthday is next week, and accordingly, she's trying to push her teeth through. So she's a little sore today, but we're getting through it.
She's a little hangry because she's thinking, I'm going to get some teeth, and it changes my diet, and she's going to be excited. So there you go. All right, Maddie, if I'm taking the temperature for you, the temperature as another Iowa Cyclone fan and a diehard, what's your temperature on ISU athletics as a whole?
I'm warm. We're feeling good. Seeing it's about like an Iowa spring, right? You go from really cool one week to feeling way different the next. Pretty fitting for athletics and pretty fitting for the weather that we get this time of year, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt at all. And I'm getting this has to be I think this is what college basketball is going to be like over, I'd say, the next 5 to 6 years, where you're going to have a whole bunch of good basketball teams that on any given night can play some of the best basketball that you've ever seen in your life, and on any other night can play really bad. And the only thing that changes either one of those two things in between is maybe some refereeing that is not keeping up with the athletic talent of our student athletes. What's your take on that one?
Oh, I would agree. I know there's been some national talk about how many games some of these officials are having to squeeze in. I think at one point we saw that, you know, a guy like John Higgins was working 7 games in 8 days? Yeah. And that's just not conducive to do a stellar job of calling games, because fatigue is a part of the sport for players and for officials too. But I just think it's indicative of the sport this year. I mean, look at the ACC, look at the Big Ten. A lot of these leagues, we describe them as messy or, you know, very average, but what you've got is a lot of programs who are usually pretty good, who aren't very good right now, and a lot of other, you know, teams that don't really get the spotlight or are even, in some cases, rare to make the tournament, if you want to talk about Northwestern, are having competitive seasons because of it. And I actually think that makes it more fun.
I do too. And one of the things that I'm seeing, with name, image, and likeness, it's going to start changing the way your Alabamas and your Georgias, they're not going to be 4 deep anymore. And I think that's changed the blue
right.
bloods too, because the most important thing with name, image, and likeness for most people is getting your name out there, getting on social media, and being seen. And if you're sitting on the bench on a North Carolina or Duke team that's, you know, 5 games over 500, that's not getting you a lot of mentions out there on social media.
No, it's not. And you just think about the sport in general. I think it's just more conducive for parity. College football, it takes, 30 really good football players to be a top 25 team, right? You've got to be really good. And those are really deep rosters, a lot of bodies. College basketball, you can do it with, 3?
Absolutely.
And if you're in a power conference, you've got a lot more places where you can do it. And then I think it'll give some new programs kind of unique opportunities. TCU has never really been terrific at basketball. Jamie Dixon's a very good coach. But I think you're going to see them take a big step forward in both football and basketball, just as an example, because of their location.
Yes.
And their, you know, some of their access to big markets. So
why would you go to Texas if you can go to TCU?
I love that question. I mean, I think you're going to see it. I think you're going to even see it with Houston, right? Like, they're going to make a jump.
Yep.
It'll change who they have access to recruiting.
I watched the Kansas-Texas game last night, and I watched Tyrese Hunter. I've only said nice things. I'm like, listen, his family dynamic might have changed. I don't know what happened. I don't know any of that. He went somewhere that he thought was going to be better. All said and done, we got Taman Lipsey. I think I get a win, and But now, the one thing that I said, and I said this to my boys, I said it on this show, the one place that he went was the place where Marcus Carr was, and Marcus Carr has to have the ball in his hands to be good.
Yeah, he does.
And yep. Maddie, what does Tyrese Hunter have to do? He needs the ball in his hand to be as good as he was last year, and that's the reason it worked for him last year, because Iowa State allowed him to have the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and it's tough for them, right? They don't have a plethora of shooters. How do they want to score a scheme? They throw the ball inside. They've got a lot of really good bigs. That's not going to be very conducive to your assist numbers either.
No, it's crazy. And I had to ask you this. It's one of the big there's like three big questions. I'll ask you the first one first. I thought Gabe Kauscher last year was kind of our glue guy, right? He did a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
What Gabe is doing this year is surprising. I mean, he is a go-to guy, and he hits those shots. It's amazing how he's transformed himself. He's not a young kid. He's transformed himself like two or three times.
Yeah, you see it more in basketball. I think in football, right, like in the NFL, there's data that pretty conclusively shows you are what you are by the time you hit, like, your third year in the league. And it seems like in college basketball, we continue to see progression from guys who stick around or who even, you know, gain a COVID year and all of a sudden turn into something special. Marius Chayok is a good example of a guy who leaves Virginia's system and thrives in a different spot. So, really pretty remarkable. And to answer your question, Steve, he is playing at an all Big 12 level. There's just no doubt about it. He will not be a first teamer. I can tell you that right now. I think the fact that Iowa State has such balanced scoring is probably going to keep any of their guys off of that first team.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean he's not playing that well.
No. And that's kind of the amazing thing with him. One of the other ones, St. Bonaventure is actually ranked right now and playing really well. And we have two players from St. Bonaventure that are amazing. What in the heck is going on at St. Bonaventure?
The A-10, man. You know, they'll put in this plug for it now. It's actually one of my favorite basketball conferences, right? You've got Davidson and George Mason and I think Richmond's in that league. VCU is in that league. Obviously, St. Bonaventure. Rhode Island, very fun conference, and they have put out good players, and Bonaventure's been good for a while now. But it is remarkable how well Oshun and Jaron have played in Big 12 play, and I think really the key is probably Jaron more than people think. He's so consistent and gives you the same thing every night that when I think in those games when it's been tough right at Tech or at Oklahoma State, I think part of the reason it's been so tough is you haven't gotten that, you know, 15 to 20 points from Jaron, and it's just become so dependable that you don't even really think twice about getting that production from him.
Never worries. Yep.
No, very consistent all season long.
So after watching, and once again, we're talking to Matt Nelson. He's at @MNelson_ISU on Twitter. After watching the Texas Tech game, and Taman did not have a good game. It was his first down game that he's had. And you're like, oh, man, now he has to play Kansas. And I'm going to tell you something right here, that if you get Bill Self to come at a press conference and say something good about an opponent, you're doing something right. And what Taman did in that game against a very good Kansas team and a very old Kansas team, I don't know what else you say about Taman and what he's done. And see, even in that Kansas game, he took shots. I don't even care if he makes shots. He just has to take them.
Yeah, you made the same point I've been telling to anyone who asks, Dean, that he's got to shoot.
Yes.
Right? There has to, when it can hurt the offense when the ball bounces over to somebody who's wide open and there's no look, because if you're not going to shoot, that means your defender's on somebody else. So where do you go with the ball? Like that
Absolutely.
Person almost has to shoot, right? Regardless of who it is.
And we're a really good offensive board team too. So just shoot the ball.
No, yes. Shoot the ball. Good things will happen if you do. And if you're short, go follow up your shot. And I think he is short right now on those. And I think the coaching staff will still take it. You certainly didn't expect him to play this much. It would be a little nuts to expect his jump shot to have improved from high school to, you know, his freshman year when he wasn't really supposed to be playing. But, no, I'm really impressed with his turnaround. I don't know what the coaching staff did, if they made – some adjustments if they just told him to, you know, to keep his head down and focus, and
or if he's
and
just bounce, that good that, a kid, you
know, gave him the confidence that he'd bounce back, or yeah, if he's just that good of a kid. I don't know what they did. It could just be indicative of the way that he's played all year, because really seeing that Tech game, that is not what we've seen from him all year. It's closer to what we saw against Kansas, right? Yeah. So you got to feel good about his ability to play like that the rest of the way. And again, I think the coaching staff gets a lot of credit for, you know, placing the trust in him and also helping him to rebound. And I, to your point about Bill, you're right. Did not think he would be the one to give Tamen Flowers after a good performance, but
not,
here we are.
Not at all. Three or four games down the line, Jazz Coons makes Iowa State what?
More efficient?
Yes.
He just does little everything. Things so well. he moves the ball. He takes charges. He's smart with it on offense. I think you're going to see them use him to break up the press. Yes. Right? It seems they're going to pressure. You know, he can handle the ball a little bit. Don't be surprised if you see that from him in the future. So I know that's maybe not what people think of when you talk about his game, but I think, you know, they clearly don't really want to use Trey King in that role, and they're most certainly going to use Jazz there if they need to. He does everything that helps you win games, and a lot of times that's not going to be reflected on the stat sheet. The other thing I tell people too is he's a bona fide good 3-point shooter.
Yep.
Even if he only makes 33% of them the rest of the way, you've got to guard him on the perimeter.
Yep. And that's a lot bigger than 33% from three is a lot bigger than what it sounds like. So, and I agree with you. I think that's the thing. He's not going to get frazzled when they're being pressed, and I think they missed that. And I think they missed that a lot. Stephanie Soares being gone for Iowa State, the biggest reason that they're struggling, or is it just a talent thing in the Big 12 that the Big 12 women's teams are getting that much better and that much, maybe that much quicker that it's starting to affect?
Good question. I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest. Some of these issues are kind of the same issues that have been there, right? Lack of post play. A team like Baylor, who's super aggressive, is just always a bad matchup for them. So it's really some of the same questions that we've had seen about this team for a couple of years now. And we thought Stephanie would be able to provide a change of pace and a different threat. And it was too bad that, you know, her season was derailed by injury in the way that it was, because she did change the team when she was on it. So, you know, I don't like talking about shifting expectations. I've seen some talk about that, you know, well, now we can just enjoy these players while we have them. That seems a little defeatist to me. I think they still have really good players, and the expectation should absolutely still be to win. Bill's been in this job long enough. You've got one of the all-time greats on your roster, and you've got some really good guards. I really don't understand that attitude. I know things maybe haven't gone your way, but this league is – I mean, Baylor's not ranked in the top 25, right? Like, this league is still fairly wide open. Yeah. So whether you can win the Big 12 outright or not, they can still play their way into hosting a couple NCAA tournament games and see if they can get back to the Sweet 16.
Before we talk a little bit of football, I'm going to have you fill in the blank. Kevin Dresser is blank to Iowa State.
That's a good question. He's kind of like our quirky old uncle.
Yeah.
he's great. Kind of a goofy dude.
Yes.
He's maybe not like, maybe doesn't come off as, you know, super, super polished when he talks to the media or to fans. But I've actually interacted with him a couple of times, just learning names, right? You might bump into him places. His smile is infectious. He's got great energy. And he's proving that he's an awesome coach.
No. Oh, yes.
And I think his program has really started to endear itself to Cyclone fans. And I think he has, too, because of his attitude. And the way he's developed guys, recruiting was never an issue. We saw that from Kevin Dresser. He could recruit. It was just the development of those players that never really seemed to catch up. So I think he's infected life and energy back into the program. And if at a minimum that was all you accomplished, we would take that. But he's got a top five squad, right? So he's doing both.
For Iowa State football, the biggest hire so far has been...
Oh, the offensive line hire. I absolutely love that move.
I do too.
Should deadpan say special teams coordinator, just because I know that's what the people want. You got to give people what they want, team.
How about the new strength and conditioning guys?
Also, you know, I think he's going to prove to be a big hire. I mean, he is a big hire, right? He's a big dude, and I like some of the names that he's going to bring along with him. But I think offensive line, you've got a guy that's bringing in someone that's got chops of coaching a couple dudes who are dudes in the NFL.
Mean, mean dudes. That's the key, right?
Yes, no doubt.
not likable guys.
No doubt.
The biggest change that we'll see in the offense this year will be with the new offensive coordinator.
Knowing Shieldhouse in the background, they're going to be able to run the ball. Maybe not as well as they want right away, but I think Shieldhouse is going to realize they have to run the ball, right? You can't keep putting Deckers in situations where he has to throw the ball 50 times a year. And if it's not Deckers, if it is J.J. Cole partway through the season, do you want to submit your five-star freshman quarterback to what Deckers had to play through last year?
No.
No time, no running game. The answer's no, right? So that's got to be the first thing that changes, and I suspect that's what they'll want to address first.
And that's such a – I mean, you've had success, and, you know, then you have a year that nothing went right. And sometimes you need a reboot. You need to be able to do that.
Agreed.
And trust me, I think people, after what I'm seeing on Twitter, would think that Iowa needs to have a reboot, but at least Iowa State did it, and I think that's very important.
Agreed. They didn't just talk about it, they went out and made changes.
I love it. Have a great one. Tell Charlotte happy birthday. Love that. Hope she gets better with her teeth. Can't wait to talk to you again. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks. See you later.
Maddie Nelson. You're listening to Steen on Sports 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Be right back.
Here's a look at live from the capital city. It's Steen on Sports 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Drive safely. It's getting a little rough out there. It's getting that time of night. Take it a little slow. Get home safe and sound. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. We welcome you in. Glad you're here. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. You can also check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website is there as well, 1700thechamp.com. You can listen live. If you can't get it on the radio, you can listen live using the 1700 The Champ app. You can hear all these good things, and some of those things you can hear. You could hear Northern Iowa at Evansville tomorrow night, 6:30. Saturday, you got Northern Iowa versus Indiana State. Sunday, it's Kansas City Chiefs. We are a Kansas City Chiefs affiliate. We also, if you want to listen to it live and you're not around, you can do the Hawkeye Huddles coming up tonight after this show. You have plenty of things that you can do. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. They have three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway in West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213 in Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot and ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Those urgent injury clinics are at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at demos.com. Hours of business, West Des Moines, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., Ankeny is Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., and new to Demos is Engineered Performance by Demos, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Plaza Parkway in Ankeny. Use them. Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, thank you very much for being a part of our program. I want to thank Zach Steenblock for coming in today. I want to thank Maddie Nelson for coming in today. I have David Eicholt tomorrow at 5. I got a couple of others that are, I'm just waiting for times, so we'll see how that goes. Just going through and looking at some stuff, I got to find out where they went here. Hold on. I have so many things going on that it is incredible. I saw this little blurb from Eric Bieniemy. And I want to say this one more time. Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Might as well assistant head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback guru, whatever you want to call him, it's working. He said, that's the beauty of being a coach, is making sure that you know the environment of everybody on your team. I encourage all coaches to make sure we know the people, because if you know the people, you can get great production out of players. And I thought about that, because I thought about the Kansas City Chiefs roster and some of the players they lost, like a Tyreek Hill, and you replace him with this guy and that guy, and the running by committee, and this Jarrett McKinnon and Pacheco and all these things. Yeah, you have the people. You still have Travis Kelce. You still have Patrick Mahomes. I get that. But I think that's important. I think that's part of this winning culture in Kansas City, is that you got to know what you have, and you got to know where you can push, where you pull back, where you can maneuver, where you can move a person, where all those things are so important. And I have to tell you that I think it's the same thing for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think Nick Sirianni brings a different, it's not his way or the highway. He's not a dictator. He's not any of that. He's relatable. Yes, these guys make a lot of money. Guess what? Coaches make a lot of money too. So it's not a money thing. It has to be a respect, a likability, and an understanding. And there are a lot of coaches, and there are a lot of coaches that don't coach anymore because they can't do that. The only thing they know how to do is iron fist, and they do what I tell them to do, or they don't do it, and you don't win. And I think that is really intriguing. The other one, as a Baltimore Ravens fan, I've been listening to this all week, and Ravens tight end Mark Andrews, who's been there forever, on what a new offensive coordinator needs to bring. And he said, this is such a pass-happy league. If you're not doing it, you're going to fall behind. Said they need to change the narrative that Baltimore isn't a great place for a wide receiver to flourish, and to understand, and you have to look at somebody. You don't have to. This is what I've been angry with the Ravens. Yes, you have. They want to establish the run. I want you to game plan the run in by keeping people off balance on what you do. And you're asking Lamar Jackson to do a lot. And he hasn't been able to stay healthy because he's doing a lot. And now he's feeling slighted because he did all that, injured a couple of times, not able to play, and still performed at such a high level that he would have been a Pro Bowl player. He would have been second or third team. It just depends. What I'm saying is, though, you have to make him feel like he's wanted. And I know these coaches, the coaching staff, the ownership group, they love him. Loving you is not showing you a lot of different things. It's not showing you money. It's not showing you weapons. It's not showing, what you're going to do to make. If you're not, you made advances in your defense, but you did nothing to help the offense. And not that not having a great defense isn't important, because it is important. But, man, having that quarterback is a huge, huge deal. And you need to see what you can do with that. Now, the other biggest story, and I have a hard time doing this because I get taken to the woodshed sometimes because I'm an Iowa State fan and I shouldn't be talking about Iowa. But if you listen to me talk about Iowa men's basketball and Iowa women's basketball, then I think you can cut me some slack. But the biggest thing that's happening right now with the Iowa Hawkeyes is Coach Brian Ferentz's contract. It's not upsetting me. It's upsetting everybody. I think the only people that aren't upset about Brian Ferentz's contract are Kirk, Gary Barta, and maybe Brian, and maybe Mom. Because they're putting him in a very difficult situation. When you attach specific numbers to keeping a contract in play, it's difficult. And what saying that you have to be able to do that, you have to consistently average 25 points a game and win 7 games. They're going to win 7 games. Their defense is strong enough to win 7 games on their own. Even though they've lost some pieces, they still are very, very talented. Here's the teams that they play and their defensive ranking in the country. They play Utah State. Their rank was 105, and they allowed 31.2. That's Utah State. ISU was ranked 18. They allowed 20 points. Western Michigan was 50th. They allowed 24. Penn State was 9th. They allowed 18.2. Michigan State was 74th. They allowed 27.4. Purdue, same, 27.4. Wisconsin, 20.2. Minnesota, 13.8. Northwestern, 28.3. Rutgers, 29.3. Illinois, 12.8. Nebraska, 27.6. Average of that is a rank of 50 and an average points per game of 23. That sets somebody up to fail because of the numbers that you just put down to say this is how you get your contract renewed. When you look at statistics like that, that's setting someone up to fail. Did you tell Brian Ferentz that? This is the only way that you get to keep your job. And if I'm Coach Kirk, I'm like, man, I don't think that's a really good idea. I think that's setting expectations that, you know, it's so dominant. And it didn't say, it said 25 points a game. Didn't say 25 offensive points a game. So that gives him some leeway because Iowa's defense did score some points last year. As Kirk Ferentz, I don't know which one I'd be more upset with, that the restraints they put. As Kirk Ferentz the coach or Kirk Ferentz the dad? And I know you're not supposed to bring that one in, but are you telling me that it's not in? And Gary Barta not even discussing what he's discussed with Brian and then bring this out? If I'm not watching an Iowa State game, I'm watching an Iowa Hawkeye game. And I think putting expectations like that is the wrong thing to do. You know, there are different things that you can get angry about. As an Iowa State fan, I was angry that we didn't have a special teams coach. You're allotted coaches, get them in and help. If we needed different coaches, I'm glad Matt Campbell went out and did what he did. I just wish he would have done it a year or two early. If you're having to get rid of people, you've done it too late. Or you're not able to just maneuver around people, you've waited too long. And in this sport, and in these times, I don't think that you can do that. And it's very interesting that this stuff is happening at two schools that for the last 4 or 5 years, last year not for Iowa State, but are pretty consistent. Listen, it's not going to get easier for the University of Iowa. It's not going to get easier with the University of Iowa football team with Brian Ferentz still there as a coaching staff. It's not going to get easier when USC and UCLA come in. It's not going to be easier when they add a couple of more teams. And then some of the teams that some of the best teams in the Big Ten have been beaten up on, you're not going to be able to beat up on them as much because you're not going to play them as much. And it's going to be different. You have to do things different. And if you're looking at what Mark Andrews just said in the NFL, is the same in college football. It's the same in high school football. If you don't at least have the threat to be able to throw the ball, it's hard to have a running game. And if the only thing you can do is run the ball, it's hard to have a passing game. You have to be able to do both. You have to run. This is the biggest thing, and it's the one that I always thought is the, you know, you always want to, I want to have all these extravagant plays. What you have to be able to do is have 5 or 6 plays that you can run differently each time and have them not understand which one you're going to do. If you're going to run, if you're going to screen, if you're going to go downfield, if you're going where you're going, that's what works. Here's a really interesting thing that I saw today too. These are the coach of the year since 2012. Bruce Arians, 2012, no longer coaching. Ron Rivera, 2013, holding on, and that was at Carolina, now at the Washington Commanders. Bruce Arians again. So Bruce Arians was coach of the year in 2012 with the Colts, 2014 with the Cardinals, Ron Rivera was 2015 Coach of the Year. That's I again with the Carolina Panthers. Jason Garrett was the Coach of the Year with the Dallas Cowboys. Sean McVay in 2017 with the Rams. Matt Nagy, 2017 or 2018 with the Chicago Bears. That didn't work out well. Here's the thing I'm going to say about Matt Nagy. The Kansas City Chiefs were a better team this year with Matt Nagy back on their coaching staff. As soon as he was let go at Chicago, Andy Reid had him in the building the next day. John Harbaugh in 2019 with my Ravens. Kevin Stefanski with the Browns. Mike Vrabel with the Tennessee Titans. Titans didn't make the playoffs. The Browns didn't make the playoffs. The Ravens didn't make the playoffs. The Bears didn't make the playoffs. The Rams didn't make the playoffs. The Cowboys did. The Panthers didn't. The Cardinals didn't. And the Colts didn't. That's what coaching's all about, folks. That's how hard it is. So also sitting here and saying those same things, it's not easy for Matt Campbell. It's not easy for Matt Campbell to fire one of his best friends. It's not easy for Kirk Ferentz to fire his son or let his son go. It's not easy. I get it. You could be on top of the world. Coach of the year in the NFL. For football coaches, there's nothing bigger except for winning a Super Bowl. And there's a whole bunch of them that don't even have jobs and their teams haven't been back. That's how difficult this stuff is. And it is crazy difficult. One of the things today, too, was Sean Payton and Amy Trask, who I love, a high-level executive in football, baseball, you name it, she can do it. Sean Payton came out and said, here's the easiest formula for me getting more out of Russell Wilson. Do what he does well and avoid the things that he doesn't do well. And Amy said, this is what the best coaches do. The best they best position players to their best. Of course, this is in case in non-sports areas as well. The best leader positions are other make others do their best. And of course, the best people help others be their best. If you don't have that in a coach, that's what I'm saying. The yelling and screaming and all of that, it doesn't work anymore. It may work for a while, but it doesn't work. You have to get in. You have to know your squad. Well, look what TJ's done. He started it last year with this group of players. He just turned it over to this group of players. He made a tweak here, a tweak there, inserted a player here, inserted a player there, and he's getting the same results. Fran McCaffrey gets the same results. Who he can take in and who he can take out. TJ's biggest thing is I still think he needs a legitimate scorer. And what Fran needs is in a big time game when they take away your big scorer, how do the other players in an important game in the NCAA tournament, how do you bring those points back in? You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. We're real sports talk for real sports fans. I have one segment left. I have potpourri coming up. Be right back.
When you're raised on a song, connect with Steen on Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Last segment on this Tuesday. Holy cow, where'd the time go? It's crazy. You are listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We're bringing your sports your way every day. You can listen to us or check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Wednesday, we have Northern Iowa at Evansville. Saturday, Northern Iowa gets Indiana State at home. One's at 6:30. Saturday's is at 12:30. Then we have Sunday Super Bowl from 1 o'clock until it is done and over. Very exciting stuff. This last segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. Provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense in proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, and provide peace of mind and protection with certified being a certified partner of Science Proven Microbial Control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services. Go to heritagebuilding.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. I want to thank Heritage Building Maintenance for being a part of the program. Palmer Group, Des Moines Orthopedic Northwest Bank, and Woodman Controls. I could not do this show without you. I want to thank Zach Steenblock and Matt Nelson for coming in today. And I got a surprise because I got somebody else in here now with me. It's Steve. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. You have a little Hawkeye huddle coming up.
I do.
I think the guys are doing it from the basement today because or maybe they're doing it from the basement next week. Are they doing it?
I'm not sure if that was.
It's G Migs. I think it's Valentine's Day.
That makes sense.
That must be that following. Yep. We should know when Valentine's Day.
We should.
I don't
write it down.
I don't know that. But
wives will test you.
Steve's a big part of the radio station. A big part for myself, for Scott and I when we're doing Happy Hour Sports because he's one at least. He comes back here and he talks to us because we're kind of back here in the in the way back. You know, they kind of hide us back in here, but. Steve, tell the audience here what kind of stuff that you do for Cumulus.
I do all sorts of stuff. I live event, kind of a technician for them to do that, like remotes. And we're doing a country karaoke thing out of Prairie Meadows. We're just doing all kinds of stuff. Fill in when the guys get sick or have something else to do. I try to be on the air for them for that and just – whatever they ask, I'll do it.
So your favorite station to fill in for music-wise or just ease of doing, which one do you like doing the best?
I was at KJJY back in the 80s, so that to me is home. So that's my favorite, but I listen to
I don't want to pigeonhole you, but I don't see you as a 98.3 The Vibe guy.
You don't?
Because I'm hardly a 98.3 Vibe guy. It gets that way with age, right?
Do you break dance?
No.
Is that even a thing anymore?
I break down when I dance.
How's that?
That's even better.
Okay.
You know, I was kind of, I grew up with Jack being on KGGO. Snotty-nosed high school kid, and he's at the KGGO studios. And I used to work at Union 76 truck stop that's no longer there.
Oh, wow.
And we'd go hang at the radio station afterwards because a couple of buddies knew a couple of buddies. And
sure.
It was just that's how I got to know Jack and Larry Morgan and all those guys. And it always had that, you know, excitement about being in the radio. But it's so different now because everything back then, I mean, it was you were live all the time. With time constraints and all the different things that everybody here does. Because, I mean, you have all your people that do KGGY, KGGO, I don't want to miss anybody, me, who else am I? The Vibe.
The Vibe, yeah.
But then they do national stuff, too.
Yep.
And to do all this, I'm just cutting. When I first got here, I thought, okay, this is overwhelming. You know, like you said, how do you prepare? And I kind of explained how I prepared. And that was okay. But then cutting commercials and doing some of that stuff. And I'm like, wow.
And you just have to do it.
Yeah, this is taking a lot of time.
It does.
And how enjoyable is it? But if you happen to be somewhere, and I was with Scott somewhere, and people were sitting at a table, and they heard our voice, and they heard us cackling like we do, and they turned around and said, you two wouldn't happen to do a radio show. And we're like, yeah. And they go, oh, we love it. We listen to you all the time. When you get that,
wow.
I forget about all the hours.
Exactly.
Yeah, they get washed away.
Yep.
You know, you've been doing it for a long time. Is that you get that same kind of enjoyment of same thing, of being
and
able?
That's really the reason I do it is the money. Well, I'm not getting paid a lot, but the money and the social interaction you get when, hey, I'm famous. Look at me.
Right.
Type thing.
Yeah, it's out there and you know, we couldn't we've done some live shows that Steve's came out and helped. I mean, it's important that you have what happens behind the scenes here, you know, doesn't get recognized sometimes. And that's tough. And the other cool part about this is, and it's the sad part too, is the radio business is changing. You can see companies just dropping people.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just going.
They've done it here.
Yeah. I can just type it into a computer. I mean, I tell people sometimes, and I hope I'm not getting into trouble that, yeah, our weather people that sound so cool,
yeah.
They're not people. I think they're computer generated.
In fact, I saw on Facebook you can get audio people talking on your commercial or your little web thing, And it's all digital now.
Yeah, all digital.
You just type it in, and there's a computer reading it for you.
It freaks people out.
It really does when
we do stuff like that. We talked a little bit. Not a big sports fan, but like Super Bowl, World Series, NCAA tournament,
yeah, the big one
gets your attention.
Sure. My grandfather lived down in Kansas City and took me to Royals and a Chiefs game, and that was my whole life back in the day when we were growing up in the 60s and 70s. So that was huge to me. Saw, I think it was Reggie. I'm going to blow it here.
Reggie Jackson.
From the Oakland A's.
Reggie Jackson.
Yep. I saw him play the Royals. This must have been in the late 60s, early 70s
right.
or something.
He was there like 68 through 76. See, I am,
okay, yeah,
I am so, a semi, especially old sports junkie. That stuff's still in my brain.
That's still in your brain.
The stuff that I read 60 minutes ago, gone.
Gone.
It's not there anymore.
I'm with you there, too.
How about, we got a couple of people here, huge, like, NASCAR, IndyCar.
No.
Like, don't, not an IndyCar.
No. So I'll watch it for the wrecks. But
so when you came and hung with us when we were out at Newton,
yeah,
doing that's just because
I was there just for Tim McGraw. So.
Yeah, and well worth, right?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But it is as an event that was a wonderful event.
Wasn't it cool?
Yeah.
I can't wait. The day that we had the track organizer on.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things. We hit it off. We text all the time. We communicate back and forth. It's just. She is it.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. And
that
she was in
thing.
Control of it. And it was amazing.
And she did a very, very good job.
Oh my goodness.
For getting that you, big of a responsibility.
Getting you in and out.
Oh.
The way you can get tickets, the way you can get into the facility, the way that you pay. I mean, it's amazing. We get to do state fair stuff.
Yeah.
Fair. Yep. I think that's the most enjoyable. Right up until the point where some of the biggest thunder and lightning that you've ever heard in your life. And who knew until we got done that day, the damage that was done.
Oh my goodness.
You know, 16 miles. That happened at the fairgrounds.
Yep.
That's hurting people.
Oh yeah. And that little shack that we're in was blowing around and you're thinking, this is going to go like a mobile home.
And
in
it was so funny
because
we had Brooks Reynolds that was in there. And when the big one hit, we had the fair director in.
I heard the crash of thunder, too. Oh, yeah. It was unreal.
Gary Slater was in there with us, and Gary kind of took the headphones off and set him down and goes, I think I better go check to see what's going on. And I'm like, Gary, you're supposed to be able to count to like three. That was a lightning and a boom. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking we may not survive that. Local teams. Hawkeye, Cyclone, pay attention.
My wife got her master's at Iowa State, so of course we're a Cyclone fan.
See, that's why I love Steve even more. Right there.
And before I married this woman, I never went to Ames or Iowa City during those games, that's for sure.
So not as much a sports guy, in your spare time, your favorite thing to do is?
Music.
There
music
you go.
And then music. So that's pretty much
and
it for
all kinds of music.
Yep. I spent probably 30 years traveling with a lot of bands across the country and did a lot of technical and stuff with sound and lights and staging and managing and all that other
favorite
stuff.
Favorite one that you traveled with?
Oh, probably the nicest was B.B. King, and probably the funnest was Doobie Brothers.
Really?
Yeah. They were just phenomenal people. And, of course, there's always the other people we don't want to talk about.
I was going to say the worst, but you don't want to say that because that, you know, we could hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah,
but it's always fun to do that. The Doobie Brothers have, that is one of those groups because I'm a huge music nut too. And I listen to music based on mood.
Yeah.
I mean, I have moods where, I mean, I just got Scott into listening to Pink Floyd.
Oh,
he's
there
like,
you go.
What do you listen to Pink Floyd? I go, when I'm doing bills, when I'm trying to study for something,
yeah.
when I have to think. It helps me think.
Yeah.
And he goes, boy, that would not be what I thought Pink Floyd would do. And I'm like, listen to it, and you'll understand.
With headphones and do it. Oh, yeah.
If you want to, you know, that's the great thing about music that I think people don't understand as much is that just how much it can help you in your everyday life.
It truly does.
It can bring you up. It can do all those things. So I appreciate you coming in here.
I appreciate the offer.
I never get to have you in here, and I'm like, he's coming in here today because I didn't have anything else to talk about. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 Champ AM 101.3 FM. It's Steen. Steen on Sports. It's real sports talk for real sports fans. I will see you tomorrow.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ.